Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. If you have questions related to what you hear today, or just want to find out more about the ministries at First United Methodist Church, please visit us online at fumcbentonville.org, or check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok.
Welcome. I'm Ray Wheeler. I'm blessed to be associate pastor here at First United Methodist Church, and I want to add my welcome to Pastor Michelle's and to all those. And we're so grateful you're here. And if you're worshiping online or worshiping here in person, we welcome you. And we hope you feel celebrated and loved in this space this morning. I'd love it if you'd pray just for a moment with me. Holy God, let the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. That's not fair. How many of you have heard this phrase before? Okay, if you have, it's okay, you can lift your hand, but you don't have to if you don't want to. If you have children, you've heard this phrase. In a former life, I was a teacher for many years, and as the saying goes, if I had a nickel, I'd probably be on an island in the Bahamas instead of with you good folks this morning. Okay, now, you don't have to raise your hands if you don't want to. How many of you have thought this phrase or said this phrase yourself? In my notes, it says, raise your hand, Pastor Ray. My wife has a wonderful mom-like saying when this comes up. She says, fair is the place the pig gets a blue ribbon. Now, she and I are both from Oklahoma originally, and that sounds like an Oklahoma mom saying to me. As we give our attention to this scripture lesson, think with me about how these passages speak to fairness and foolish love. This is from Matthew 20, verse 1 through 16. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After he agreed with the workers to pay them a denarian, he sent them into his vineyard. Then he went out around 9 o'clock in the morning and saw others standing around in the marketplace doing nothing. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard and I'll pay you whatever is right. And they went. Again around noon and then at 3 p.m, he did the same thing. Around 5 p.m, he went and found others standing around and said to them, why are you standing around here doing nothing all day long? And they said, no one has hired us. And he responded, you also go into the vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the manager, call the workers and give them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and moving to the first. When those who were hired at 5 p.m. came, each one received a denarian. But when those hired first came, they thought they should receive more. But each of them also received a denarian. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked 1 hour, and they received the same pay as we did, even though we had to work the whole day in the hot sun. But he replied to one of them, friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't I agree to pay you a denarian? Take what belongs to you and go. I want to give to this one who is hired last the same as I give you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with what belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I'm generous? So those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. If we sit with this story a bit, we can sympathize with those workers hired at the very beginning of the day. And they seem to have a reasonable expectation when they see those hired later in the day receive a full day's pay. They're thinking, I've been working in the hot sun all day. My neck is sore and red, and I'm going to get a bonus for all my hard work. And we can understand that. These workers were keeping score. We also like to keep score, don't we? Notice that those hired at 9 and noon and 3 are keeping their big mouths shut. They know they got a good deal. If the owner suddenly decided to be fair, they could stand to lose. And we can understand and identify with their thinking as well. I think we can all remember times when we felt like we got more than we deserved. We can ignore fairness when it gives us an advantage, can't we? Jesus is inspired to teach this parable because his disciples are also keeping score. This parable comes right after the rich young man has gone away sorrowful because he was rich, and Jesus saw that material things were what were important to him. And Christ says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And his disciples exclaim, who's going to be saved? And Jesus said, just settle yourselves down. It's not possible for you, but God can do all things. And then Christ assures the disciples that all who work to bring about the kingdom of heaven will receive a reward, with this caveat about the economy of the divine. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And then we hear the parable of the extravagant boss. The disciples had ambitions. Look at how much I'm doing for you, Lord. I'm your favorite, right? Lord, can I sit at your right hand when you come into your kingdom? When some folks read this passage, they might take it very literally. Some people will make a commitment to Jesus when they're young and they live faithfully their whole lives, and then others come in much later in life. But then some people have they find redemption in what's so-called a deathbed conversion. We can remember the repentant thief during the crucifixion of Christ. I have a Baptist friend who says, whether you come to the altar on the first verse of Just As I Am or the 27th verse of Just As I Am, you're still saved. Now, I think that's right. But I believe Christ has a deeper meaning for this story. Put in simplest terms, I think Christ is trying to teach the disciples that the landowner is not interested in being fair, but is focused on justice. Beyond that, if the landowner wanted to be fair, he wouldn't go back to the marketplace at 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock, and especially at 5 p.m. As my sweet mother used to say, everyone's way is right in their own eyes, but the Lord sees the heart. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Jesus really wanted his disciples to understand this, and by extension, us to understand this, because he uncharacteristically, he gives this punchline at the beginning, and then he tells the story, and he repeats the punchline at the end. The context here is Jesus is giving surprising examples of those who belong in God's kingdom. And it's objectively unfair for this landowner to pay the same for 12 hours of work as for 1 hour of work. But in this divine economy, God knows us completely, each of us completely, and God knows what we all need. The landowner in our story knew that those hired last, at the end of the day, they had hungry families that needed a full day's wage to meet their needs with dignity. Justice, not fairness. The workers who were hired first might have rejoiced and said, hey, everybody got what they needed today. And, you know, they didn't lose anything. They got everything they promised. But they were keeping score. Just before both of our scripture stories this morning, Christ is focused on blessing children. And he tells his followers, unless you become as little children, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. In the time of Christ, children had the lowest status. They have no power, but Christ said, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Christ saw children of his day. He truly saw them, and he valued them and loved them. And our second scripture story this morning gives us insight into how God sees each and every one of us. This is a reading from Matthew 18, verse 12 and 13. What do you think if someone had 100 sheep and one of them wandered off? Wouldn't he leave the 99 on the hillside and go in search of that one that wandered off? If he finds it, I assure you that he is happier about having that one sheep than about the 99 who didn't wander off. Now, fairness this morning would suggest that the shepherd cut his losses with this one little willful lamb. After all, it's his rebellious fault that he wandered off in the first place. And logically, that's only about a 1% loss. That's an acceptable shrinkage, isn't it? But God doesn't see it that way. God knows us down to our hair count, and he still desires a relationship with us in a miraculous and reckless way. And the shepherd doesn't wait for that wandering sheep to turn its life around, lose those extra pounds, or give up vaping and act right. No, the loving shepherd go seeking. And we've probably all been in both positions, haven't we, at one time or another? We've all been the wandering sheep, and we've all been one of those 99 hanging around waiting different times in this journey. I think the key for us this morning is to be ready to welcome the wanderers. We should guard against our sense of privilege and be ready to welcome those who arrive in this fold. Folks who might not be like us, who may be in a different place in their walk or have different life experiences. One day when I was in junior high, I came out of my childhood church, and there in the parking lot, standing by this really cool muscle car, was my father. My father was a skilled mechanic and electrician and a house builder, but he was also kind of a square dude. And my square father is deep in conversation with a tall, lanky guy who had hair down past his shoulders. He kind of had a scraggly beard. And my initial thought, I remember this so clearly, was, why is my redneck father talking to that hippie? Of course, it was the hippie's cool muscle car, by the way. A couple of nights later, the young hippie and his wife and their family come to our house for dinner. And our families became fast friends. As we vacationed together and spent life together, I stopped seeing them as young hippies. They were lots younger than my parents. They had a different life experience. But that experience my mother and father had with those folks taught me that I need to be more open-minded about relationships with people that at first might look different from me. When we get right down to the nub of both these parables from Scripture this morning, I believe the real message Jesus is trying to convey to his disciples and by extension to us is, we are not God. We are not God. We can't see every heart or know every heart. It's way above our pay grade to determine who is deserving, who is first, and who is last. The good news for us is that God knows us completely this morning and loves us as we are and wants us to be blessed. And I think, beloved, he wants us to be blessed so we can in turn be a blessing. We can be the people who are set to bless and invite others into this fold. So this morning, if you are wondering what work you can do in response to this foolish love of God, I would encourage you to think, what fills me with joy? What breaks my heart? When have I felt most like a disciple of Christ? What would I do if I didn't have any limitations? If these questions sound familiar, these are the four questions that Michelle has already asked a whole lot of us. And the answer to these questions, I think, can reveal what our passion is. And your place of passion might just be the Holy Spirit nudging you to the work that God is calling you to do at this place, at this time. And if the Holy Spirit invites you to play a part, know there are no small parts. So if you feel like you're just standing around the marketplace, I invite you to talk through these four questions with one of us and find that place in your vineyard where your work will bring you joy and bring this body of believers joy. Beloved, the Creator of all things knows us as we are today, right this second. And the eternal divine has poured extravagant love and grace on us and in us. And our only response can be a humble, grateful thanks. But then we can look for ways to share God's excessive, foolish, ridiculous love and grace that overflows in us. Let it be so. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. If you would like to let us know you were here, follow the link below to connect. To participate in worship through giving, you can give online at fumcbentonville.org or on Venmo at fumcbentonville. FUMC Bentonville welcomes all. Because we believe the communion table is God's table, we invite everyone into our church family. We welcome and celebrate every race, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, marital status, age, physical and mental ability, national origin, economic station, and political ideology. We come together in action and outreach, aspiring to follow Jesus' example of radical hospitality, love, and grace as a transformative movement in our community. Please join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m., both in person and on Facebook Live. All are welcome, and we'd love to have you with us. Grace and peace.